Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, I am so glad that you have joined me on today. I'm excited about you, you, and you. Yes, you. I am excited that you joined me on today. We are looking forward to another glorious and blessed lesson on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed on today. So why don't you come right on in and make yourself right at home as we get ready to explore and look at the word of the Lord on today. We are going to be looking at the child of God, and we're going to look from the scripture out of Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 1 through verse number 10. Then we're going to look at another passage of scripture, which is Proverbs 16 and 25. So why don't you grab your Bible, come on in. I tell you, you're going to be blessed. I know without a shadow of a doubt. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 1 through verse 10. And it reads on this line. It said, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past of the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and even of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and have raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them." Oh, child of God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless our tongues. Let it be as a pen of a ready writer, and as a yield to you, that you will speak a word unto your people. And Father, we thank you for all of our wonderful listeners. Let this word have an impact down in their soul, that it will produce fruit for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let it perfect and mature the body of Christ. Amen. God bless you. Now, so let's take a look here at the scripture here, as what Apostle Paul was speaking in reference about as being workmanship, made and created after God's own hand, created in Christ Jesus, and unto good works. We must recognize that in our creation that God has created us for purpose. As I often share with people, I would say that, and I firmly am one that believe it, that we don't have to run after purpose, but we serve into purpose. And as we serving into purpose, serving at our local assemblies where God has called us to and planted us in for us to prosper at in our spiritual man, the place where God has ordained for us as the children of God to be nurtured. As we begin to serve in those places, serve in our community, serve in our families, our home, and then we are going to move into purpose. Purpose is going to come clearer as to what God has called us and ordained us to do, that good work. Many times people drop everything and run and start looking for purpose, and purpose is all around us. And as we begin to serve and begin to work with that which God has already placed in our hand, God will begin to nurture our life and begin to bless us. Yes, serving in the Christian education department, or serving even in the men department, the women department, and all of the areas that God has so given us opportunity to work in, we will begin to move forward in purpose, because I believe that line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, God is molding and shaping us as we are serving one another into the purpose in which he has called us to do. Now, let's take a look at the lesson here on today as we begin to look at some of the things that Paul was talking about here. When we look here, society remembers the major majority of the famous people for their defining work and performing a noble action. While they may have made valuable and numerous contributions to a particular field, one effort generally seems to be the most notable when viewed through the lens of history, and it is his or her signature work as a masterpiece. When we begin, God has formed innumerable and mighty acts that encourage one to praise him. And we'll see that over in Psalms 150, where it says, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." And the grandeur of the mountain testify of God's greatness. And the far-flung skies, in the skies, the stars and the planets are also witnesses of God's power. And even in New England, the hills in the fall and the delicate patterns in the butterfly wings and the fragrant scents of the bundles of wildflowers are all examples of God's grand created work. Now, one of the days, God told me, he said something so profound. He said, "Helen, when you look at a child of God, I want you to see the grandeur that I have created in the individual life as they have gone through the process of transformation and even conversion in their life. That is my workmanship. When you can look upon that individual life who used to be, whatever that line or whatever you want to fill into that line of what we used to be and where God has in his own infinite wisdom has recreated and molded and shaped our lives into the men and women of God that he's seen before the foundation of the world, in spite of every decision, every wrong decision, wrong choice, wrong action. The power of God, the power of God hit me. The power of God is so great and so dynamic that it is able to literally reshape and to resurrect that dead individual into a life that is brilliant and bring great glory and splendor unto God. Oh, he's a wonder. I can hear the saints of old say, he's a wonder in my soul. And it is a wonder, because when we begin to look at some of the wonderful work that God has done in the lives of his people, we marvel at the glory of the aroma of praise that exuding out of the life of an individual where at one point in time it was hopeless for them, that they didn't see a way out, didn't see a door, didn't see even an opportunity or a chance. And right at that moment and that time, God stepped in and started to recreate all over again that which he has already planned and foreseen even in his mind in the life of an individual. That's why when we begin to look at even the Old Testament, when we begin to look at the oracles that are in the tabernacle, one that is in the Ark of the Covenant, which is the rod of Aaron, and that particular symbol that is there, part of the article that was there in the Ark of the Covenant, was a symbolism of the resurrection, that God can take a dead situation, even though the rod is dead, there was a bud that was budding out of that rod. And so what I say in today, child of God, that even in our dead in our lowliest situation, God is able to create, and God is able to birth out of that. some wonderful, glorious things in and through and out of our life. Let's look at here. God clearly spelled out to Adam that the consequences of his disobedience, there should have been no confusion on Adam's part, for the Lord had told him in no certain terms that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil would mean death in him. Now, the Lord's word was never without effect. When Adam ate, we know the scripture let us know that he died. And it is self-evident by the continuance of humanity that he did not die physically immediately. Now, let's take a look at that, because what the enemy would do is trick us in our mind that, yes, I'm still living, and perhaps Adam felt that same way. But there was a key thing that happened. Even though Adam still was alive, he was kicked out, expelled out of the garden, and not able to have that divine visitation that he had when God will walk in the garden at the coolness of the day. And that's why, let's look at this. Let's look at the theological implication and how it is contextualized to our lives today. What will happen is that what the enemy don't want an individual to know, that when we disobey God and we don't repent and we don't return back, that what that actually does, yes, God will forgive us, but then, too, there's another dynamic that we must recognize. We don't want God to take his anointing away from us or our ability to come into the presence of God because of sin, unconfessed sin. And that's why we, as the children of God, the child of God, we immediately, when we find ourselves have been disobedient, we immediately confess that, go back to God and ask God to forgive us, because guess what? What's more invaluable and more important to us is the ability to have fellowship with God, to go into his presence and to commune with God, to hear him to speak and give us direction and order our steps, and to not only that, but also for him and his anointing to rest upon our life. Oh, that's valuable unto the child of God. We cultivate that. We hold on to that. We want that to exude in and through our life, because we recognize that death that taken place because of disobedience and because of desires of the flesh can separate us from the presence of God. Yes, we will be forgiven. Yes, we can continue on in our lives, but that will be absent of a divine relationship of intimacy with God. It will be absence of his anointing resting upon and ruling upon our life. That's why David began to cry out and ask God not to take his spirit from him and to wash him, to cleanse him with hyssop, and begin to tell him how much he wanted him. And I'm going to read that scripture in our hearing, because we have to value the anointing, value not only the anointing, but the privilege also to be able to be used by God. And so we recognize that David, when he had sinned, he began to say, you know, Lord, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression and wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So here David took time out to acknowledge that. He recognized it and he acknowledged him, and he went on to begin to talk about how he sinned against him and things. And so he also began to talk to God, and God literally began to restore David because of his repentant heart. And that's why we find that David is a man after God's own heart. He was running after God's heart. He desired God's heart. He desired the things of God. He wanted to bring glory and honor unto God. And so let us continue to look here. It said, now life comes by the love and grace of God. Let's take a look at that. We can rejoice that spiritual death is not the final state of anyone who turns to God. But the first word of the verse 4 indicates that, but God, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Just as death came by Adam's disobedience, so life comes by Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at that and think. Paul specified mercy and love from which salvation of God flows to us. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, Ephesians number 2, verse 4. There is no reason for Jesus to suffer and die other than he loved us. No other explanation of that we can think of. He took on our corruption and gave us his perfection. Now look at that exchange. He said, here, I'm going to take your corruption, and now I'm going to exchange it for my perfection. So look at that exchange that has taken place in our life. And what we should do is begin to embrace the perfective peace of God and the perfection of God in our lives. And say, God, thank you for that divine perfection that you exchanged for my corruption. And begin to walk in that newness of life. He took on our death. He gave us his life. Only divine mercy and love could do that. Not only did he do that, but also God has quickened us. After finding us in our sin and paying the price for our redemption, Jesus then effects the great miracle of spiritual resurrection in us. Ephesians 2 and 5, the word mean quicken, mean to make alive. The physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of the resurrection of our physical body, that we cannot relegate this particular passage to only the future. In the same measure that we once were dead, we are now spiritually alive because he has quickened us. He has made our spirit to become alive now. Can you imagine that? And can you see that? That how your spirit is now alive to the things of God, alive to the plan of God, alive to his voice, even to his thoughts that he had for us. And even when revelation comes, it no longer just walk past us, but now we can recognize it and see it and embrace it. When not only that, when rhema word come, it leaps in our spirit and we find a place to embody it in our hearts and our soul, and to see the manifestation of it, because our spirit is alive. And we're able to embrace, and not only embrace, but recognize it. Now, that's why you can sit right in the house of God, worshiping and praising God, and rain and coming and flowing, and some people can get up and stand and put their hands together and begin to acknowledge and affirm that they received that rain of word, where somebody else sitting right there in the same house with you and things and wondering why everybody's standing up. Because guess what? Your spirit is alive, and there have not become alive yet and things, but we have been enabled to embrace that which God has done in and through our life. Let's look at the quickening power of God. It said, after finding us in our sin and paying that a price, he quickened us. We accomplished this with Christ. His resurrection through the grave was the proof that he has completed the atonement process for us. And we must recognize, and I know that the adversary is fighting us hard on this particular session and lesson, because it's going to give you revelation and understanding. We must recognize that when Jesus Christ, he made complete atonement, a process for us, when he came forth from the grave victorious over its physical death, he assured our victory over spiritual death. The parallel is striking. After Jesus' burial, the Spirit of God worked a resurrection miracle in him. After our association with the burial by water baptism in the name of Jesus, a similar miracle occurred in us by his Spirit. When the believer is baptized with the Holy Ghost, the sin-deadened spirit in them is quickened. In the glorious day that was yet to come, the same spirit will quicken every dead body of those individuals who died in Christ. Now, this is the effect of his love and mercy in our lives. We have received the work that Jesus referred to over in John 5:25, which say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Amen. And not only that, God raised us up together to make us sit in heavenly places. So when we come to church or when we're sitting on the bus together and fellowshipping about the wonderful things of Jesus Christ have done, guess what? We are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, God is able to complete the work that he begun in our life. And Paul explained how God raised us up to a new level of conduct and a new standard by wish to gauge it, and that he had raised us together to make us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we seek to measure up to Jesus Christ. The blessing that is accompanying this new level of living are abundant and varied. While nothing replaces the spiritual life we receive in Jesus Christ, God often raises people socially and economically. One may notice that 5 years after a person is born again, that he may be driving a better car or working at a better job or living in a better neighborhood. As a child of God, he becomes more trustworthy, responsible, and dependable, all characteristics that tend to make them more valuable to their even employer. Certainly, we must never serve him for a social lift, but we must indeed be debtor to him in a manifold way. And we'll find that over in James chapter number 1, verse 17. Salvation is accomplished in a full sense at a given point in the time when a person in faith turned to Jesus Christ in repentance, is baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sin, and received the Holy Ghost. But salvation is a paradoxical, ongoing work. As one would allow, this is key, him to be led, and for him to lead us, the Holy Ghost continue to perfect us for the rest of our life. Now, that is so key. We must, after becoming a child of God and things given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with him, we must yield ourselves and allow the power and the Spirit of the Lord to begin to create in us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. And when we begin to do that, God is beginning to do a greater work in our life. That, yes, that means get up every morning and saying, "Lord, I acknowledge you to this day that you will lead me into the path of righteousness, that you will lead me to make the right decisions in this day. And I yield to the Spirit of God to lead me and to guide me into all truth in this day, on this glorious day." Not what happened 20 years ago, but what is happening right now in the now. Not what I know, but what I need. I need thee each and every hour, every minute of the day. And when we're constantly keeping a fresh relationship with our Lord, when we allowing ourselves to be constantly cultivated by God's Spirit daily, a new fresh anointing, daily fresh oil in our lamps, daily a fresh aroma going up unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, daily welcoming the Holy Spirit to lead, guide us into all truth, we will begin to cultivate a fresh and a new relationship and stand in a fresh and a new place with God, where we're constantly producing life out of our life, constantly producing new praises, coming up out of our spirit, where we constantly seeing new revelation of our God, constantly seeing new manifestation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, constantly that in the inner court of our God, constantly living above sin and reproach, constantly living as kings and queens in the court of the Lord of our God, constantly walking in the newness of life. The Bible said that he came that he might give us life and that more abundantly. And so as we're constantly in the presence of God, the abundancy of joy is flowing throughout our life. Even in a bad situation, joy is falling out of our life because we are seeing it out of the eyes of God. When we're constantly walking in the presence of God, we're constantly in the place where we're able to be nurtured and cultivated by the power and the Spirit of God, because now we are yielded to the Spirit and saying, God, we want you to be the one that's going to be the workmanship, and we want to be your workmanship of your mighty hand, and that's why we daily come to your throne to say, work on me today again, God. Make me the man or the woman of God that you called me out to be. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of your prayer and need of you, God, needing you to guide me through this situation. In the midst of all this chaos, God, I'm still yet going to acknowledge you, that you will direct my path. And when we constantly is acknowledging God, when we constantly is focusing in on God and the things of God, God is going to bless us. God is going to cultivate us. God is going to make us the man and woman of God. He's going to lift you up out of that dunghill. He's going to breathe fresh ruah in your spiritual nostril. He's going to show you the things that you don't see. He's going to reveal and peel back the things that look bad, but really God says good. Good is in it. And so as being that workmanship, it means a thing of his working. God is working something great in your life. And let's look further. In other words, when a child of God look at the wonderful life that they now enjoy in Christ Jesus, they must remember that nothing is the product of our own effort or goodness, but it all come from and stem from the handiwork of our Savior. With skillful hands, the Master create joys where sorrow used to exist. With skillful hands, he also eradicates and bring out sickness and diseases out of our life through miraculous move of God in our life. Where there was turmoil there, God paints a beautiful canvas of peace in our mind and in our thoughts and our hearts. Where there was bitterness and strife, he comes and just stands in the middle and brings a spirit of peace there. That's the handiwork of our God. Where at one time you may be a bearer of tales, now you are a woman, a man of confidence and men of integrity, because now you are the workmanship of his wonderful hand. We must welcome him and allowing him to prepare the bride, oh, which is his church, and grooming the bride, which is his handiwork, to move in and through our life, that we may become the men and women of God that he so graciously called us out to be, as we become the yielded vessels in his hand. Now, when he has completed the process, he will welcome his bride home, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It is his finest work, his signature creation that bears his name. The child of God is truly his ultimate masterpiece. And so I come to tell you on today, child of God, as you continue to yield your life, as God is carving out of you, creating within you the masterpiece that he has so divinely ordained before the foundation of the world, in his mind of what he has established in your life, as you continue to yield over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the things that we can do in my closing as we yield is, number one, is that as we start our day, is stopping and taking a moment and yielding to God and saying, Lord, I'm just seeking your kingdom today and your righteousness. And your word said that all these things will be added unto me. And so I take my moment and yield to you. And God, before I make a decision, God, what is the right decision? See, again, you seeking his righteousness by saying, what is the right decision in this thing? And or when someone is responding, you have to respond, God, what is the right respond that I should share at this time. Again, we're seeking the righteousness of God, what is right by God, because we are not our own and we belong unto Him. And as we begin to cultivate a yielded life, a yielded one, where we stop and we yield to the Spirit of God, not to what we know, not to what we've learned, not to what we are accustomed to, but what is right in the eyesight of our God and what is right that He has for us in this moment, in this situation, in this day. Are we seeking the righteousness of our God? And watch God bless you. And watch God lead you and guide you into all truth and into the abundancy that He has so already, have already ordained for and promised to give unto you as women and men of God. And so I come to you today and saying, as a child of God, that He quickened us, made us to come alive. And not only did He quicken us, that we should walk according to the course, and that we should not walk according to the course of this world, but become yielded as children of God through God's rich mercy and love, and allowing Him to quicken us and to work His workmanship, because you are the handy work of God. When you look in the mirror today, begin to see the workmanship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every day you see yourself, you should see the handiwork of your God being cultivated and moved. And if you can see the aura of God, the wonderful, wonderful aura of God exuding through your life, that is the handiwork of God. Embrace it, receive it, walk in it, and allow it to take place and root in your life, because you are God's wonderful work that He has created. I don't care how bad your situation is, God's still working a great work in your life. I don't care what's stacked up against you. You are still the workmanship and the handiwork of the Lord our God. And so when you look yourself in the mirror, you can look yourself with a wonderful smile and say, I am the handiwork of God, and He's doing a great and mighty work in and through my life. Not only me, but my family and my children and my children's children. That's a promise unto you. And so, child of God, I pray that you've been blessed on today. I pray that your heart will have been lifted on today, and that you've been encouraged as you continue to yield to the mighty Spirit of God as you move forward in this course of life. As we continue to acknowledge Him first, He will direct our path. It's a promise. It's not a feeling. It's a promise that He promised to do. So wherever you find yourself today, continue to yield to God and watch God do it. Yield your children to Him. Yield your situation to Him. Yield your future and your destiny and your purpose to Him, because He is the one that created your destiny and created your purpose and created you. And who better off to know how to lead us and guide us than our own Creator. So you enjoy the Lord our God, and may your life be blessed. Until we meet together again, I pray that the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow unto your life. Yes, a no sorrow blessing is coming to your life. Gracious Father, we thank you, dear God, for this wonderful time to spend with your people again today. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you open every door for them. I pray that they embrace each and other as they sit together in the heavenly places. When they come together and sitting down in fellowship, let them take note that this is a heavenly place that they're sitting and abiding in. And Father, we thank you and give you the glory as you continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in and through our wonderful life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as I close out on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you, yes, you, are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Until we meet again, may God richly, richly bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.